home for the holidays kind of thing. When I looked around the room earlier, I saw a number of people that I know aren't close. Well, you know what I mean. I recognize that guy sitting back there, even though he's sporting a beard there. How are you doing, James?
Doing well, Steve.
Good, really good. You made it home with your family?
Yes.
This is Clint Verhuell's brother, James, his wife, Gail, and they have four children, right? I saw Ben earlier when I was at the back there, Doug Glenda's son, only son, middle child. Any sympathies in the room for that? Now, it's hard enough to be the middle child, but when you got an older sister and a younger sister, that's got to be rough, I tell you. Who else do we have that's home for the holidays? Caitlin's home from university, but we've seen you a lot this fall. You just keep coming back. It's great. It's really good. Yes, I saw Nathan. You were praying for Colin and Don's granddaughter, Layla, and Nathan told me this morning she's feeling better. She's on the mend. So it's good to see you guys. Allison, how are you doing? Good? Good. Yeah, excellent. Oh, Risha, how are you doing? I heard something naughty about you. I heard you shocked your poor mother. It won't be repeated. Sometimes surprises can be good. Sometimes not so good. But it's good to see you. I'm sure your mother, after she got over the initial shock, was happy to see you. You're okay now, Valerie? That's good. It could have ended badly. Yeah. It was snowing a little bit. I don't know if it still is or not, but is it all done? It's still snowing? Yeah. Is that good? Yeah. I think the first 2 inches are wonderful. My name is Steve Adams, and I'm pretty pleased this morning, if I can get my mouth to work, to be sharing the word with you in just a bit. Did you notice that Don Lawrence, where are you, Don? Right there. Did you notice how quiet all those kids got when you were speaking? Like, I've never seen that many children that quiet for that long a period of time. Like, there was silence. I was standing back there beside John, and we were just looking around the room, and kind of like it is now, the only difference is that the kids are all gone. They're all...
It's
fear? Well, I don't know what it is, but it was good. It was very good. Usually, you know, this time of year, you hear a lot of coughing and stuff. But you're all doing quite well, it seems. It appears. So that's good. We do thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your greatness. It's evidenced in all these things this morning. And as we turn our thoughts to your scriptures this morning, we ask that you would once again grace us with understanding and insight into what you have for us. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who is our teacher this morning. And we pray that you would give us those ears to hear and eyes to see, so that we would not leave this place until we've gotten from you what it is that we need from you this day. And we thank you for all your provision for us. In Christ's name, amen. We are going to be in 1 John chapter 4 this morning. Just before we go there, I do want to mention that Marion mentioned the cafe this morning. The cafe is something that we've been doing. It's and she mentioned buying somebody lunch. We actually are operating on a donation, suggested donation basis. So the way that works is that if you are short on funds or financially it's tough for you, then you can go up there and have lunch, and it's not a problem, it's not an issue at all. And likewise, if you're flush, you can throw in an extra 20 and it'll all come out in the wash. That's the way it's set up to work. And the long-term plans for the cafe is for any profits that are realized will go to a mission project. This year, we're just trying to recoup some of our costs out of our general fund because we didn't start the year planning to build a cafe, and it kind of ran us a bit short. But the other thing, Marion mentioned food handling course. You don't have to have a food handling course to help. We're looking for people to take the food handling course to help in bigger ways in the kitchen, but there are other jobs that you can do without the food handling course. So, but you just talk to Florence. Christmas is really big. We're doing a series called the Big Give, and it's a big deal. I've been writing. I wrote a blog. I've been writing for about four or five years now, maybe, or something like that. And I'm amazed that when you title a blog post. And people are doing searches online or whatever, and they view a particular page of your blog. By far and away, the most views on my blog are of a blog that I wrote, posted about 2 years ago, around this time of year. Actually, it was the 29th of December, 2010, called The Lowly Manger. And it is runaway ahead of all of the other posts in terms of people viewing those blog posts. Hundreds of posts, that's the one that gets hit the most. In fact, 95 people looked at that blog post this week. That's how big Christmas is. That has nothing to do with me. I'm sure there are lots of people out there whose blogs get read way more than mine do, but I just, that struck me, that of all of the topics and all of the titles, that's the one that people have really visited a lot. And it just gives us an indication of how big Christmas really is. The series we're doing is inspired by John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The children are doing the same material, by the way. We kind of stole it from them. That's their curriculum, the Big Give. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing right now in their program. And so we're piggybacking on that a little bit. 3 weeks ago, I got to share some with you about how the angel Gabriel came to visit Mary, and how God's love and his compassion it always flows out of his grace. It's undeserved. Mary didn't get what she deserved. None of us deserve God's blessing. None of us earn his acceptance. It's always out of his grace, and we're thankful for that. Very thankful. It's undeserved because it's God's nature to give. God is a giving God. In fact, the scripture says that God is love. It doesn't say love is God, but it says God is love. That's the kind of love he is. He never ceases to love. Even when God is carrying out his justice, even when the Bible speaks of the wrath of God, it's never inconsistent with his love, because it's impossible for God to act in an unloving way, because God is love. 2 weeks ago, Jeff shared with us, and he was encouraging us to think about the gift that God gave, that that compassion that God had for us in sending His Son, and challenged us to think about what we would give. What will you give this Christmas? And then last week, Doug was talking about the shepherds, and he asked us to think about who we would tell. The shepherds went and they told the people the good news. They went everywhere talking and telling anybody who would listen the good news about Christ being born. And I hope you received a card last Sunday morning. If you weren't here and you're interested in that message, you can speak to Doug about that. I'm sure he'd be able to help you. Have some more cards, Doug? Yeah, we can make them. Tomorrow evening, we're going to conclude this series. It's going to be a short service. Marion mentioned it. It's 6 o'clock. We'll have you out of here by 7. And sometimes in the past, people have stayed away. Our regular people have stayed away from Christmas Eve service because of the crowds. And there are a lot of people typically that come. But I just want to encourage you. We are going to have a video overflow. So rather than staying away because of the crowds, invite somebody. And if you invite somebody and they come tomorrow evening, they're gonna hear some things that people really need to hear. And so I encourage you to do that. All right, 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. We're leaving the Gospels and we're going to 1 John. And chapter 4 and verses 7, we're going to look at verses 7 through 12. And First John 4:7, just reading there, says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." That's that statement that I mentioned to you a bit ago, right? Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then verse 9 says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him." I want to focus your attention this morning on that little word, "showed." God showed us His love. It's an interesting word. It's an important word. And when we use it, we usually have different purposes for using the word "show" or "showed." And I'd like for us to look at that this morning and give it some serious thought. Quite often when we use the word "show," we are thinking about proof. When we ask somebody to show us something, quite often that's the case. And certainly that is part of the meaning here. That God, when it says that God showed us His love, it means in part that God proved His love to us. We had a demonstration out on the highway here. Was that Friday? I think it was Friday. And you wonder what's that about? Well, when we refer to a demonstration like that, it's people that are trying to make a point. There's something that they want to prove, and usually when we think about those types of demonstrations, we're talking about a group of people that want to see how many people they can get together and how much noise that they can make to show to see if the support is there, or to prove that the support is there for their position or their idea or what have you. And so we use the word demonstration that way. And certainly in this passage here, that's part of what this is saying to us, that God proved His love. Why would God do that? Well, He did that because He wants us to believe and to receive His love. So God is making a point in sending His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. So God is making a point, and He says in 1 John 4, verse 9, that He showed His love. That is to say that He proved His love. The old saying, seeing is believing, which isn't always true in the physical sense, but it is important when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we see a demonstration or a proof of the love of God. It's relatively easy to say, I love you. I know for some of the guys here, it may not, you know, maybe not, doesn't come quite so easy to some of you. I hear gals complain sometimes that their husband or son or brother or whatever, has trouble saying those words. But love has got to be one of the words that's probably thrown around more than any other word in the English language. And it's very easy to say, I love you. But as a word, the word love has become almost useless. And that's probably why we're using the word compassion more. And we're saying in this series of messages, and we got this from the children's curriculum, so they're all learning this. Compassion is caring enough to do something about someone else's need. That's what it is. And when the Bible speaks about God's love and compassion, it always has him doing something. Have you noticed that? When you're reading the Bible, whenever it talks about God's love or his compassion, there's always an action that goes along with it. God doesn't just say that he loves us. God showed his love for us. He proved his love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And if you look through the Gospels, I'll throw a few verses. I'll get Dave to throw up some verses here. Mark 1:41, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. So he didn't just say he did. He showed compassion. Mark 6:34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. In the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15:20, he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. He didn't just say, my son, I love you. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around his son, and he kissed him. Maybe that would be a good thing to do for someone this Christmas. Give them a great big kiss. Tell them you love them. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34 says this. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and they followed him. So you see, and these are just typical passages. They're not all the passages that talk about Christ's compassion, but they're typical of the passages that talk about Christ's compassion. And there was always an action there. He was always doing something. It wasn't just about saying words. He proved his compassion by what he did. And in 1 John 4:9, that's what that word showed. It includes that idea. He proved his love. If you doubt the love of Christ, you need to look at the cross of Christ. If you doubt the love of God, you need to look at what he did in sending his son to die for you and I. And so that we would be able to live, the passage says in verse 9 there, that we would be able to live through him. And verse 10 of 1 John 4 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. John the Apostle points to the cross of Jesus and he says, this is love, or if you will, that's love. Ever wonder what it is that makes something what it is? Ever wonder what makes love love? John the Apostle points at the cross and says, that's love. I remember the Crocodile Dundee movie when the thugs come to him and his... the two of them there, and the guy pulls out a knife, and Mick Dundee says, "That's not a knife. This is a knife." And he pulls out this knife about like yay long, you know. He says, "Yeah, that is a knife." I remember when I traveled the first time to the Rocky Mountains. Growing up in this area, I'd never, you know, when we talked about the mountains, we were talking about Folly Mountain. And when I stood in the Rockies, got out of the car, drove into the Rockies, got out of the car, and stood on the shoulder of the road, and just kind of looked up like that. I was awestruck, and I remember thinking, now that is a mountain. And what is it that makes a mountain a mountain? It's its sheer size. We like to make mountains out of molehills. What is the defining characteristic of love? What is it that makes love love? John says, this is love. Not that we love God. Verse 10, 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What is it that makes love love? Let me suggest two things to you. One we talked about 3 weeks ago, and that is that it's undeserved. It's unearned. Giving to get is not love. Helping somebody because you think maybe if you help them, they'll help you, that's not love. That's an arrangement. God's not into arrangements. He's into love. God doesn't love us because he thinks he can get something from us. Yet so often that's what we fall into, that type of attitude. We talked about that 3 weeks ago. We talked about Mary and how God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, not because she was deserving of some special revelation from God, but just because of his grace. God's love is always rooted in his grace. But the other thing here in this is the degree of personal sacrifice. It says that he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, 1 John 4:10. The degree of personal sacrifice or cost, if you will. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's that unmerited, undeserved love of God. But it's also a demonstration or a showing, if you will, not only of how unconditional God's love is, that he died for us while we were his enemies, but it all also shows the incredible personal cost or sacrifice involved in love. When John looked at the cross and looks at the cross and says, now that is love, what is it that he sees? What is it that you see when you look at the cross of the Christ that would cause you to say something like that? And I'm suggesting to you it's a couple of things. One is that it's completely undeserved or unmerited. But the other is that it comes at an immense personal cost. And it's this personal cost part of love that I think that really we need to really understand that. Because when we talk about God showing his love, we're talking, first of all, about how God proved his love. But it's so that we would believe and receive. But it's more than that. It's more than that, because not only does John say God showed us his love because he wanted to prove his love, he also wants us to understand so we can understand what it means to love and so that we can know his love. Earlier on in his letter, John writes in chapter 3, verse 16, this is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is how we know what love is. When he says in John chapter 4, God showed us his love, it means that he proved his love, but it also means that he showed us his love so that we would understand, so that we would know what love is. And that's really, really, really important, that we know what real love really is, because it has this idea of personal sacrifice at the center of it, a cost. Now, when we think of cost, we tend to think of money. The same as when we think about giving, we think about stuff. And I appreciated a couple weeks ago when Jeff challenged us all about our time. And he said something like, you know, when you can, you give out of our monetary resources, you can recoup that most of the time. But you can't ever get your time back. And so that makes time a real special gift. And I think that's a tremendous thought for us at Christmas time. But I want to take you beyond that still and get you to think about pain. Because at the heart of what this means to expend and to sacrifice is this idea of pain. It's more than just monetary, it's more than just stuff. It's the idea that we, you and I, value our comfort more than we value anything. And for you and I to love, and to love like God loved us, there's going to be a cost, and the cost is going to be make us uncomfortable. The old expression, give till it hurts, comes to mind. But it's not just about money. Because the reality is that a lot of us very rarely ever step outside of our own comfort zone. Why? Because we value our comfort almost more than anything. But if you're going to love someone, it's going to hurt. Ask a mother of a newborn child who has to stay up, or a father of a sick child who has to go without sleep. Talk about uncomfortable. What is that? It's love. That's what it is. Don't get confused, because the world uses the word love all the time to talk about a whole lot of stuff that's not really love at all. John looks at the cross and he says, that's love. Well, what makes love love? Not only is it the unconditional, undeserved part of it, but it's that personal cost. That personal cost that we are willing to give. But there's a third thing. Not only when John says that God showed us his love, is he talking about God proving his love, so that we will believe and receive. Not only is he saying that God showed us his love so that we would know what love is and understand what it means to love, but there's a third thing that this idea of somebody showing us something has with it that's really, really important here in this passage and throughout the theology of the Bible when it talks about loving. And God loving us. And that is the third thing. When you show somebody something, quite often your intent or the purpose is so that they will know how to do it. And that's in here too. In fact, it's very central to the thought here. Because, a moment ago we were in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, this is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us, and so we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So the intent or the purpose of God showing us his love is not just to prove his love so that we will believe, not just to show us his love so we will understand and know what love is, but ultimately God shows us his love so that we will know how to love. In fact, it's a profound thought when you come to verse 11 and 12 of 1 John chapter 4. Verse 11 says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And then in verse 12, he says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Think about that. The great, boundless, matchless love of God is not complete until you and I love. That's profound for me. It's the word of God. It's supposed to be profound, but that's a very profound thought. The word profound means deep, for those of you who are into words. And the reason I know that is because I spent some time in Mexico a few years ago. And that's the word for deep. And when we talk about the love of God, it's very appropriate to use the word profound. Paul talks about the width and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God in Ephesians chapter 3, right? But think about that for a moment. The word here for complete is teleol. And it means to make perfect or complete or whole, to finish. The great, matchless, boundless love of God is not finished until you and I love with His love. How demonstrative are you? Are you a demonstrative person? Some of us are more demonstrative than others. I tend to be a demonstrative kind of person. In fact, I have to be careful because I make people uncomfortable. Not everybody wants to be hugged and kissed. Go figure. I don't know. I take all the hugs and kisses I can get, but not everybody likes that. But when it comes to God, God's love is demonstrated. He shows His love. Now we sometimes get, there's a negative connotation. We talk about something being all show, or it's just a show. But when the Bible uses the word show here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it's a very positive sense. It means that God didn't just talk about it. He did it. And He didn't just do it in some small way. He did it in the most infinite way imaginable. So much so that John the Apostle would say, that, my friends, my children, as he called them his children here, that is love. Why did he do it? I'm suggesting three things. One, so that you would believe, so that we would believe and receive. Two, so that we would understand and we would know what it really means to love. And three, the love of God is incomplete until you and I not only believe it, not only receive it, not only understand what it really is, but do it. Though that's what he had in his heart, in that great big heart of God. That's his intent. That's why we call this the big give. To capture the imagination of a child. How big is big? How big is God? How big is it? When the Bible says that God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. How big a give is that? How big is Christmas, really? And yet it's incomplete until it finds fulfillment in your life and mine. What time did you finish last week, Doug? Pardon? Quarter to.
Don't worry, I'll take what you got.
I just want to go back to one point, and that is the cost. Think pain. Don't just think money. Don't just think stuff. Don't even think doing things. Think pain. Because if you're really going to love somebody, if you're really going to love somebody, it is going to cost you. It's going to mean that you're going to have to get outside of your comfort zone. You're going to have to forget about your own comfort. And you're going to have to do something, because that's right, compassion is caring enough to do something for somebody's need. And you have to do something that's going to be for them. Not for you, for them. Their gain, your cost. What's that look like in your life? Who are those people? Last week we asked you to write the name of one of them down. There's probably others that come to your mind. Why don't you stand and I'd like to pray with you and for you. Sometimes it's hard to give proper attention to a subject that's so, can I use the word basic? Essential? Pardon? Open? It certainly is wide open, isn't it? The love of God, the arms of God stretch wide. And one of the reasons it's hard is because we tend to think we know that already. Okay, we got the love thing. And yet every single day, over and over again, we see it demonstrated the other way. Not the love. The selfishness and the self-centeredness and the animosity and the resentment and the bitterness. All that other stuff. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do this week? What do you got planned? You got plans for this week? Do those plans include the kind of love that John talks about here? I hope so. I really, really hope so. Because when you do that, today, this week, the love of God is fulfilled in your life. And it doesn't get any bigger than that. Let me pray with you, will you? Lord, I thank you for this time we've been able to spend together. And we thank you for your word. Lord, where would we be without your word? And thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you that you proved your love. Thank you that we can know and understand what it means to love. But Lord, in the doing of it, we especially need your help, Lord. So fill us with your Spirit, we pray. And may your great, boundless love be fulfilled in our lives as we, not just in word, but as we actually love people with your love. In these days, show us what it means, Lord, and show us how. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen.